Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we're back for another one.
Back for another one.
And we're in our brand new series.
Yeah, new series, kicking off brand new series. What is it, Steph?
Pastor Please.
Pastor Please. P-L-E-A-S. No E on the end. So the idea here is things as a pastor that drive me crazy that I could plead and beg with you not to do or to do. These will be those things.
Okay. Right?
So it's the pastor pleading with you.
Yes.
Which is why we're calling it Pastor Please. To do or not do these things, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's me going, please, please, please. Or, like Steph suggested earlier, please, please, please.
Don't prove I'm right.
That's it, yeah. So, Pastor Please, that's what we're doing. And we're spending probably, I don't know, 11, 12 episodes on this. And this is just like just some stuff. These are some things that drive me crazy as a pastor. And not like, I don't know, not things that drive me crazy and I'm irritated or in a bad way. It's just... as a pastor, and I think I'm going to probably be speaking for just about all pastors that I know would agree with these things. And so the idea is that as a pastor, I honestly want what's the best for you. And I think any pastor, unless they are abusing their power, so let's just throw those anomalies out there. Any pastor really wants what's best for you, right? We did enter into this field for money, believe me. We did not enter this field for... anything other than the fact that we really feel called and led by God to shepherd people, to help people. So we really, really want what is best for you individually. And so what that looks like is I would want you to mature. The idea is that a pastor really, really wants you to grow in your own personal walk, to mature, to step out of the shallow, since we're singing, and into a deeper area of faith consistently. Like that's what a pastor really wants for you. Like if you think about the biblical example of, and what we get with Jesus, of shepherding and sheep for pastoring people, that's the biblical word for pastor is the word shepherd. Well, what you want is you want to care for and lead the flock that you love into a deeper, more meaningful, better life, you know, closer to the Father, growing and maturing. And that's just the point of pastoring, right? So that's the whole reason. So we want you to grow, we want you to mature, we want you to go deeper. But one of the main things of wanting the best for you is wanting for you to avoid common pitfalls or ways that the devil tends to get a foothold. That scripture's in Ephesians that talks about the devil getting a foothold, right? That there's these common pitfall things that people walk into so easily, and they're very common across the board, and so naturally that the devil ends up getting a foothold. And what we mean by that is like he gets a toe in the door, right? Imagine a door you're trying to shut, and all of a sudden somebody sticks a foot in. The door is cracked. The enemy gets a hold. And so there's these common pitfalls constantly. So that's kind of what this series is if we want what's best for you, it's to want you to grow and mature, but also want you to avoid common pitfalls that seem to plague Christians in our country or during our time frame. And some of these have been around forever, right? These have always been common human pitfalls, but I just see them so much because I've been in ministry so long. Valerie and I are getting ready to celebrate here coming this year. We're going to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary, which means I'll celebrate my 25th year of being in full-time pastoral ministry as well.
That's awesome.
It's a long time, right? And I've been doing this thing so long. I have preached thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons. I have done well over 100 weddings, well over 100 funerals. I've seen people walk through just about everything in life. And because I've been doing this so long, I see and know these common pitfalls that are in front of us all the time. And these are the things where I would be like, please, for the love of God, don't do this, or please do this instead. And it's not just me seeing this in other people from some self-righteous position. I have walked through a lot of these common pitfalls myself, like the one we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
I've walked through this one myself too. And so I've seen so many people fall the exact same way or get stuck. Maybe fall is the wrong word. get stuck, get sidetracked, get trapped by the enemy in the same ways over and over again for so many years. And so we're just talking through some of these common places that sort of drive me crazy, because I just don't want it to get you like it has gotten so many other people. So these are my pastor pleas. If I could plead with you to not do something or to do something, these would be those things. And that's what we're going to talk through during this series. They're very common, and people walk into them very easily. And for some of them, it's really, really easy to kind of be like, nah, I'm going to ignore what God says on this. I'm going to ignore what pastor says on this. It doesn't really fit my life. I'm going to do this my own way, and I'm going to pick this route. It's going to be different for me. And a lot of these common pitfalls, people look at them and go, oh, this is different for me. This is different for me. I'm just telling you that I've seen these things we're going to talk through. I've seen lots and lots of people from various different backgrounds and ways of life and different strengths and weaknesses, different personality styles. Men and women walk through these exact same pitfalls, and it grabs them all. And so they really, really do cause significant problems in our life. And so because I care for you and I love you, and not just me, but pastors in general, or spiritual mothers and fathers, you may have heard this stuff from, because I care for you and love you, I would beg you not to do. Most of these things we're going to talk about is a beg you not to do. Some of them is a beg you to do. But so that's kind of what we're talking through. This came out of me and Steph were brainstorming one time, and I said randomly, I was like, I got an idea for the podcast. And it was after, yet again, an evening where I looked at something. I saw some people doing some stuff, and I was like, oh, my gosh, for the love of God, please don't go down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so common. I just see it constantly. And so some of these are going to, you know, like out of the entire list, some of them are going to hit you as you listen, and some of them aren't. They're not necessarily the pitfalls you have fallen into. Or maybe you did this the wrong way, and it happened to work out okay. I'm just telling you that most of the time it does not, as we kind of go down this road. So that's what we're talking through. We're going to just pick some. And so today we've got pastor plea number one. That's where we're going to be. Pastor plea number one is where we're going to kick off today.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to tell them what it is? You want me to tell them? I'll do it because I'm the one pleading, right?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the first one. Please, please, for the love of God and all things holy, get counseling. Earlier than you think.
Yes.
Before it is needed. Like, and I know that sounds crazy to say, because people will be like, well, why would I talk to a counselor when I don't feel like I need to yet? I wait until something blows up. That's too late then. Like, please, for the love of God, do not diminish the power of counseling in your life and the fact that you need it. I think every single human being needs therapy.
I agree.
Needs counseling. And when I say get counseling, I don't mean go sit and talk to your pastor. There's room for that, and that might be phase one, right? But you need to quickly move into somebody licensed and professional. This is what they do. This is the calling on their life. This is the training that they have.
Yes.
Because the vast majority of your pastors, including me, that is not where the majority of our training is. You know how much training I had in pastoral counseling? One class, right? One.
Yeah.
It sort of checked the box, and we moved on. And so, yeah, starting with your pastor is a good thing. But one of the things, if I could beg you, it would be please get counseling earlier than you think. You need it. I'm telling you, you need it. You may be sitting there listening right now, well, I don't need therapy. Yes, you do. And if you're sitting there going, I don't need it, it's a prime indication that you are blind and that you do need it. If your feeling is I don't need it, you need it. And there's going to be times in your life where things are going to explode. And when you actually get to counseling at that point, because it's a last resource, you're going to wish you have started it sooner. Because there's so many common pitfalls that you could avoid. I'm not saying that every single person needs to be in counseling every day for the rest of their life.
No.
That's not what I mean. I just mean there are seasons where you really need to lean into someone helping you dive deep into what's happened to you, what you caused, the things that have been caused to you, the way in which you handle things, process things, the way you hold anxiety, worries, fear, the reasons in which you do certain things that you do, why you rely on certain things you rely on, secrets that we keep, right, that we have somebody confidential that we can talk through about those things. I'm just telling you that you need to have done that before there was a crisis.
Yeah.
And every person I have ever met needs counsel. I've yet to meet a person where I thought, well, this person, man, they just had the perfect little childhood and they had a perfect little life and they're doing just fine. And of course, they're sinful because everybody's sinful. But for the most part, these people, everybody I've met needs counseling. Everybody. And you need it earlier than you think you do. And there's so many ways we could go with this. I mean, there's so many ways to look at it. But we're talking specifically individual therapy and counseling right now. This is a big deal. And every time I turn around, I feel like I am begging people to seek some counseling. And it not be from me. I'll help you start. But you don't want me doing it long term or your pastor probably, because that's not our gifting and talent, right? That's not our training. And I'm saying this from a place of when I first went. So let's see. I'll tell you when it happened. So I first sought out counseling and therapy in the middle of a horrendous season, right around 2007. 2007, I transitioned from a church that I was at to another church, and I was not in a good place mentally, but I felt like I couldn't say that because who wants to hire a pastor who's not in a good place mentally, right?
Yeah.
And that was my job and my calling, so I had to just kind of fake it a little bit. I was also the time where Valerie was about to give birth to Olivia, our daughter. I had walked through some horrible stuff at the church I was at before. And this was in 2007. I was 26 years old when Olivia was born, right? I was the same age that my dad was when I was born. And when I got into therapy, after about four or five sessions, I realized that I should have done this 5, 6, 7 years ago. That if I would have walked through some of this stuff and talked through some of this stuff newly as an adult, newly as a pastor, newly as a husband, it would have changed the game for me.
Yeah.
And I was able to sort of, that was the first time in my life where I'd sat through some therapy and realized, even though my parents are wonderful people, there was some stuff and some things in which I was raised that had really affected how I handled stress, how I did things. There were some things in my life that I was hiding and lying about, and some ways in which I had allowed this idea of getting it just right and being perfect to crush me. And what I realized through therapy is that was some behavior that it was sort of learned or I adapted into very early on in life, right? And I think it would have prevented a lot of things if that therapy would have happened prior to that, right? I mean, by the time I'm 26 years old, 27 years old, and finally go through some therapy, I had been a husband for 6, 7 years at that point, right? It had been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been pastoring. You know, I've been pastoring since I was 20 years old. And so I've been pastoring for a long time.
Wow.
And it wasn't that it was too late, right? Like, have you ever heard this old adage that the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago? The second best time to plant a tree is today. Right. So yeah. So the best time to save money was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Mm-hmm. The best time to have gotten some therapy is years ago. The second best time is today. Right.
Yes.
And I was saying that, you know, I don't know where I was going with that, but I'm just trying to say that, you know, it's not too late, even if you start to figure it's like I figured it out at that point and I wish I would have. But thank God I didn't go another 10 years before actually reaching out to this. And what ended up happening is a crisis is what made me reach out for counseling. And I was very scared to do it because I fell into the same stupid thing that we believe about pastors, that we believe about Christians, that if a pastor seeks out counseling, something's wrong with them. They can't be that. They got to be the person who knows all the answers. And we feel that way about Christians too. If a Christian ends up seeking out counseling, well, something must be wrong because a Christian needs to know all the answers anyway, right? They're not relying on God enough or whatever. But I was scared to do it. And I realized once I did that, my God, I wish I would have done this years ago. And that's how this thing works. Like, it's like, why would the pastor plead for you to get counseling? Because I'm telling you, you need it before you think you do. When you start to realize, oh my God, I need therapy, it's late at that point in the game.
Yeah.
Right. It's late. You and I have talked about this a lot over the last year or two, right? Because you've been walking through some therapy.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking about that at all?
Yeah, I don't mind. So I knew I needed it for a long time, but I always had kind of an excuse, mm-hmm. I think. It was not that I didn't want to do it. It was that I felt like I didn't have enough time. So I wouldn't make time because I was always working or busy or whatnot. Right. So, I would have my friends that would check in with me and we would be talking about stuff. And they were like, I really think you would benefit from therapy. Especially like my friend Tanyette. She was always like, I really think you would benefit from that. And I was like, I know. I was like, I really want to. I don't really know about my finances right now or blah, blah, blah. I was like, but I do want to. That was always my thing, my saying, like, da, da, da. But it finally got to a point late. Well, I guess it was like fall. So it was right near, it was October, I think, I started. I don't know. I hit a point.
So you're about at a year now.
Yeah, about a year. No, I think it's been a year now, for sure. I think it was September when I started, maybe. Right. Anyway, I had hit a point. Everything was just way too difficult for me. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with the stuff from my past, but the main thing was there was stuff happening at my job. And I was like, I don't think I can function much longer if I don't talk to somebody. Right. Like, I can't keep talking to my friends. I can't keep talking to even y'all. Like I said, I can't keep doing this because like it's not getting me, I guess, the help I really feel like I need. And of course, God always helped, but I was like, I know I need to seek someone here to talk to. So I reached out through work. You know, they give you those free so many sessions. So I was able to get counseling through BetterHelp. It has changed my life. Like I knew I needed it, but oh my gosh, it's nice to talk to someone and you build this relationship with someone professional and they just listen to you. You could talk about whatever, however much you want. You can cry as much as you want. You could talk about the same thing over and over again and you are not being judged.
And they are are a third party.
Yeah.
They don't have a dog in the fight. Right, they're completely separate and removed from that, so they can give you objective information, objective advice, objective conversation. Right?
Yeah.
And most of the time, therapy is you doing all the talking. It's funny, like you don't go to a therapist and the therapist fixes anything. What they do is they help you work through it, you know, on your own, at your own pace, and a myriad of issues.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how it works, and I mean, if I could beg you, mm-hmm. I would beg you, please talk to somebody, even if it's a short-term thing.
Yes.
I would beg you to do it because I think this is completely biblical. Right?
It is biblical.
If you look through scripture and you start looking at the words counsel and advice and those things, if you just do a word search alone, you're going to find a lot of stuff. And there is quite a bit in the Proverbs specifically, which is known as our wisdom scripture, that the wise seek counsel.
Yes.
Like that there is protection in the abundance of counsel, that we need to seek out people who are further along, who are trained with us, who are trained in these things, right? Who this is their calling. I mean, you have to realize that there is a calling on people's lives to help people walk through and figure out these things that are going on, right? To counsel people. And that's why I was bringing up the fact that you just shouldn't just lean this on your pastor, because the pastor's calling is much more of a shepherd calling, a leader calling.
Yeah.
Pastors come in like different varieties. You've got the pastor who is the, for lack of a better word, has the apostleship gift, which means they start new things, right? I don't believe that you can be an apostle now, right? The idea originally, biblically speaking of, and if this is in your denomination, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, I think it's weird to call somebody right now an apostle. Because the apostleship idea in Scripture was those that walked specifically with Jesus and were called by Jesus, right, directly.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about the gift of apostleship, it's this idea of starting new things, beginning new ministries, planting new churches or whatever. So you can have a pastor, shepherd's heart, who is geared towards starting stuff. And then you can have a pastor with a shepherd's heart who's geared towards sustaining things, right? And you can have a pastor whose heart is geared towards preaching and teaching, right? Really leading people in the Word. And you can have pastors whose hearts are really geared towards family and those dynamics. But the typically, a shepherd or a pastor's main function is not going to just be counseling. There's other roles that are at play in there. And what you're really looking for is somebody who's being called and then trained and equipped to counsel. And I don't think that all your counseling has to be Christian counseling.
No, right? It doesn't.
So my first stint that I was mentioning earlier, that I got counseling when I was 26, 27, I should have got it before then. Mm-hmm. That was, maybe I was a little older than that. But anyway, that I went and purposefully sought out a non-Christian counselor. I wanted psychology. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had the faith part down pat. I didn't have to have somebody counseling me who necessarily was a Christian at that point. There has been other times in my life where I have wanted to seek out somebody on purpose who was a Christian.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So the person I'm seeing right now, off and on, was a pastor for a long time. And now what he does is he helps counsel pastors. Because I felt like in this particular season, I didn't want to have to sit down and explain for a year what the heck a pastor does and has to deal with and the pressures and all those things. I wanted somebody that already understood it.
That's nice. Yeah.
So that's been going on. You don't have to see a Christian counselor in particular, but I still think that people who are in counseling profession are people who have feel called to this line of work, who are trained and equipped to do those things.
Yeah.
And those are the people you want to be sitting down with. So please, for the love of God, seek out some therapy and some counseling before you are in the crisis mode. Like yours, when you got into it over this last year, did you wish you would have done it sooner?
I wished I would have just jumped on in, because it really has. I have benefited from it so much. Like, I love it.
When you look at it now, and I know hindsight's 2020, right? I know mm-hmm. that's all. But I think we should pay attention to when we get into something and we go, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done this sooner. I think we need to pay attention to that for advice for the other people.
Yes,
so it's like what
absolutely.
We're talking about right now. When you got into it and you realized how beneficial it was there ever a spot, or maybe it's just right now, where you thought, my 20s would have been different if I would have been processing through this stuff earlier or younger? Or whatever age you want to look at. Did you think that at all, or have you thought
I've thought that at points. Like, I could have probably, I guess, managed things better.
Yeah, some relationships would be different.
Better.
Some way you handle stuff is different.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just think that when you are in a situation where you're on purpose with the right person guiding you through childhood-related stuff, trauma, mm-hmm. all these things, the earlier you jump on that, the better, right?
Agreed.
Like, there are lots of parents and families I sit down with, and the kid is walking through some sort of traumatic thing. Do not wait for that child to get some therapy and some help. Don't wait. Don't let it be something they have to then go start doing when they're grown. Thank the Lord, we are in a season now in life in America, and especially in the church, where this conversation we're having right now is not like the devil, because there was a time where that was the case.
I didn't know that.
If you brought up mental health related stuff several years ago in the South, you were having a lack of faith. It had a stigma.
Well, yeah.
It had this stigma.
It was definitely
on,
a
right?
lack of faith stigma.
And especially with Christians seeking out therapy and counseling. And so what would happen is we would just wait until we were older and it starts crashing down around us, and then we would go quietly seek this thing out. But nobody would talk about it. You wouldn't have, if podcasts existed 20 years ago, you wouldn't have a consensus across the board that we need therapy, right? It was sort of invalidated in the Christian circles for a long time as, that's why we called psychiatrists shrinks, head shrinks.
Yeah.
It was invalidated. It was just something for people that were crazy, or if it was something who people couldn't handle certain parts of their life. They weren't strong enough. They didn't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't believe enough. You know, they didn't rely on God enough. And I just think that's crap. And so I'm just thankful that we're now in a different place with that.
I am too.
Where we can have these conversations and people are open to it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you the amount of people who I have sat with me over the years, and I have basically begged them, given them instructions, please seek some therapy. And every single one of them that actually does it says, I'm glad that I did this. I wish I would have did it sooner.
Yeah.
And every single person that doesn't do it, later on, they're like, man, I wish I would have really done that.
Yeah.
You know, I got a guy right now who I love. He's one of my favorite people. and he's the first person in his extremely jacked up family to actually seek out therapy.
That's awesome.
And I'm very proud of him.
Yeah.
Because that's a very hard step to take. There's a something that changes. I don't know if you want to go down the generational curse route or whatever, but
nah, do it.
There's something that changes. like when somebody in the family finally stands up and goes, all right, this ends with me, whatever that is. It may have been happened to me, but I'm not going to be the one who continues it. It's going to be different with my home, with
That's
my
right.
family, with my kids. It's the same thing with therapy. When somebody in the family finally stands up and goes, you know what? I'm not going to be the one who keeps pushing this under the rug. I'm going to talk about this with someone. I'm going to seek some help. It begins to change the whole family dynamic, just that one person. And the Holy
That's
Spirit
right.
starts to work on a deeper level within that whole family. And it begins to change stuff not just for you, but for the people who are following you and the people around you. It starts to change everything. And like when this one guy just decided he was finally going to do it, man, I was shocked that he actually listened. Because people never listen to this. When I say to people, when pastors say to people, you need to get some counseling, you can check in with them a year later. Have you got the counseling? No, I haven't done it yet. And it's like you. There's a ton of excuses, a ton of reasons. And I'm not throwing shade at nobody.
No.
I did the same thing. I did the exact same thing.
And it can be legit reasons, but you could overdo it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I did the same thing. Yes, this is going to cost you money, right? But it's worth every single penny.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to take some of your time, but it's worth every single minute.
It is.
It goes by fast, too. It is worth whatever sacrifice it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if and almost all health insurances now cover some of these things and have a minimal deductible on them. But even if that's not the case, even if you're listening and you're like, I don't have health insurance, I'm going to have to pay the full thing. Well, you will waste $100 that a counseling session would cost you with no insurance. It costs much less than that with insurance, but you will waste $100 at McDonald's in 1 month without even thinking about it. And this is something that this money is well worth the investment.
Yeah, it's good for your health.
But you have to choose whether you're going to make this a thing or not. So,
agreed.
My first pastor plea would be, for the love of God and all things holy, please seek out some counseling and some therapy earlier than you think you need it.
Yeah. I want to say something, too.
Yeah.
I think it would benefit you too, because if you're a person that you are constantly overthinking and it's like the same things just playing on a loop in your head and it feels like you're hearing like the same, that same like voice, you know what I mean? It's better to be in therapy, because in that moment you can let out so much out of your own mouth. And so you're actually emptying up space that's taking up like residence in your head,
good.
You know what I mean? And like weighing you down in your spirit. So I definitely think that's something to consider. And definitely before you even start, pray about the person that you're going to be working with, talking with, because you could get someone you don't like them, but you could find someone else. You know what I mean? But it's good to pray about it, because God will give you the right therapist in that season, for sure.
And it's just like you were saying, if you try this and you're like, oh my God, this doesn't work, don't throw out counseling because you found the wrong person.
Right.
Don't throw out the... That would be like saying, I started reading my Bible and I started in the wrong spot, and so now I don't think Bible reading's for me. No, don't throw out the whole thing just because you need to kick it off in a different spot, right? You know what I mean?
Like, that's right.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't get rid of the whole concept just because it didn't necessarily work for you the first time, or you didn't find the right person, or that person wasn't the right fit. It's okay if they're not the right fit. Right? You can find another one. But
that's right.
I'm just telling you from personal experience, please, for the love of God, seek therapy. It is important. Your family will thank you. Those that love you and care for you, your friends, your husband, your spouse, your wife, your children, they will thank you. It will make you a better you.
That's
hands
right.
down. And it is worth every ounce of time and investment that you would put into it. Every ounce.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me how people will pay for a gym membership and not use it, but we'll balk at whatever the counseling fee is. It's nuts. Because all it is the gym and the workout for your mind is what it is.
Yeah.
And the mind is a powerful, powerful thing. What you think impacts you in so many ways that we have no idea, right? Everything, we talked about this on the podcast a long time ago, everything is a battle of the mind.
It is.
It's all about the mind and the will that we are fighting. And everything about spiritual warfare is a mental battle, right? The enemy's main thing is to lie to you. That's his main weapon. His main weaponry is lies and shame and all those things. But they all come under the heading of lie. And you don't really dispel some of those things without having some outside voice speaking into it. So please, Pastor, plea number one, please, for the love of God and all things holy and righteous, in the name of Jesus, please, 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 don't prove them right. Please, 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 seek out counseling before you think you need it, earlier than you think. Right?
Agreed.
Don't wait for the things to crash around you. Do it before that.
That's good advice.
If you're sitting there going right now, like, I'm good, perfect time to seek therapy. Perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to need it.
Because there's probably something that's bugging you right now in your life.
It's a guarantee.
There's something, maybe even from your past.
It's a guarantee. Yeah. And nobody's childhood was perfect, and our family of origin affects us more than we'd ever realize. And you got to be able to talk through it. You can't just sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Right? Even if you had parents who were saints like me, there's still some stuff there. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I figured that out in therapy. There were some things that I did and why I did it, and I know why now. And knowing why changed the game for me, right? Because if you know, all right, why do I act this way? Why do I feel this way? Why do I get like this when this thing happens? Well, it's probably because of this. And I'd have never figured that out. Even as a pastor, I would have never figured that out without therapy. So that's all we got. That's number one. Please, 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 please. You make me want to sing the song again. Please, please, please,
please, please. Don't prove
I'm right. Please seek out counseling now, earlier than you think.
And we will seek out singing lessons.
Yeah. It ain't gonna help. It's not gonna help me, Steph. You're the singer. I should let you do it. Steph was telling me earlier, she was like, there's these videos where they take that song that we were just doing and they do it purposely off key.
And they're funny.
Yeah, I just did it perfectly off key too, because I couldn't sing it on key if I tried.
I did as well, so it's great. It's good. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this episode and just got something from it. And share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with whoever, because yep. Everyone can benefit from counseling.
Yep, for sure.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.